I'm really grateful that I get to be here with you guys. It's so awesome when you're with one part of the body of Christ and then you get to come and you get to visit another part of the body of Christ and just be blessed and hopefully be a blessing as well, that the Lord can just use us and magnify his name, because it's all about Jesus. And we're going to talk to you today about Jesus and about his interaction with us when we're going through difficult circumstances, when we're going through storms. We're going to be looking in our Bibles today at Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. So you guys can look that up. I'm not going to be there for a couple more minutes. I want to talk to you a little bit about storms. But before we begin speaking, let's go ahead and put this time in the hands of the Lord. Father God, we come before you and we just are grateful that we get to come together, that we get to worship you, that we get to listen to your word, that we get to be sensitive to your spirit and to what your spirit is telling us and to the way that we can react to you. We're humbled because you want to speak to us. So we want to put this time in your hands. And we ask that you would just help us to forget about the cares that have been with us throughout the week. And that this time would just be about you. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So specifically, I want to talk to you about storms, but about facing life's storms. Now, storms can be pretty amazing. They're powerful. How many of you guys have ever been in a storm, in the middle of a storm, a rainstorm? Around here, we get, you know, tornadoes and stuff like that. It can be daunting. It can even be frightening when you're in the middle of the storm. It's the power, the rain beating down. And when I was thinking about storms and reading this text, I thought about the Apostle Paul. And specifically, one time in the book of Acts in chapter 27, it talks about when he's on the slave ship. And when he was on this huge storm, and it talks about how he and everybody that was on the storm were on the trip, were being beaten by the storm, and that the ship captain and the leaders, they didn't know what to do. And in verse 20, it comes to the point that it says that the storm was so severe that they had not seen the sun or the stars for days, and that they had lost all hope. You know, that can happen sometimes. When we're facing storms, when we go through difficult times, we can lose hope. Now, there are different types of storms. There are the physical storms that we see or that we've experienced. Some storms can be very harsh. They can even decimate areas. I know that just over a year ago, there was a huge storm that hit the Houston area. It was actually a hurricane. What was the name of that hurricane? Hurricane Harvey. It came in and it just dumped rain and it destroyed, and there was just massive destruction because of that storm. And the people there were just going through it. Now, there are other storms that can happen in our lives as well. There are storms that happen on the inside. And those kind of storms, maybe they're not as evident as the physical storms, but they are indeed storms as well. And one thing is sure, that when we think about storms, when we think about our relation to those storms, there are only three possible ways that we encounter them. One way, the first way, is that we're headed into a storm. Or maybe it's better said that the storm is heading towards us and there's nothing we can do to get out of its way. We're going to be in it. The second way is that we're in the middle of the storm and things are crashing down and beating around us, and we're there waiting for it to pass. And the third way is we're coming out of the storm. The storm is passing, and we're starting to see the blue sky and the sunshine. And we're grateful that the storm is passing. Matthew chapter 14, specifically these verses 22 to 33, they speak about a storm that the disciples encountered. And I want us to go ahead and read this text through the first few verses, through verse 27. And it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." So we're going to look at this text and the following part of the text as well, and we're going to consider some lessons that we can learn regarding life's storms. And the first lesson that I see here in the very beginning of the text is that many times we face life's storms even when we're walking in obedience to the Lord. And if you'll note right here in the text, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. So it wasn't that they were being disobedient or rebellious, or that they were running away from Jesus, or that they said they weren't going to go. They were following his instructions. And it's pretty amazing that those instructions led them directly into a storm that was unavoidable. Walking in holiness is not always the easiest path. Obeying the Lord isn't always easy. There are difficulties that come with it. Think of that Apostle Paul. We mentioned him back in Acts, and we remember that the storm on the prison ship was that came against the prison ship was the ship was headed to Rome. And why was the Apostle Paul even on that ship in the first place? Why did he have to encounter that storm? Well, it was just because he was completing what Jesus had foretold about him, that he was going to proclaim the gospel, that even back right after his conversion in chapter 9, when the Lord sent Ananias to pray for Paul, and Ananias was arguing with the Lord, saying, "But that guy, you know, I've heard a lot about that guy. He's against us." And the Lord sent him, and he said, "I want you to go to Paul because I want you to tell him what he was called to do." It was Saul then, but he eventually became Paul, that he's a chosen vessel, right, to testify to Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel, and that he would suffer for following the Lord. The Apostle Paul was in the middle of that storm because he was doing exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. The disciples were in the middle of that storm because they were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. Sometimes we can be in the middle of a storm where the lightning is crashing down and the thunder and the wind and the rain, and it's scary, and we're in the middle of that because we're doing exactly what Jesus wants us to do. I mean, it shouldn't surprise us. Even Jesus was sent by the Spirit to face temptation from the devil right after in his weakest point. And we're not greater than the Lord. It shouldn't surprise us that we too have to face difficulties in this life. The second thing that I see is that storms should remind us of God's promises. That also is right here in verse 22. And it is not specifically stated in the text, but it is inferred in the text, because it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. And it continues saying, well, he sent the multitudes away. So it says to go before him to the other side. Now that infers that if they're going before him, that he will meet them. So storms should remind us of God's promises. Jesus sent those disciples ahead in the boat, and he knew they were going to face that difficult circumstance, but he knew that he would go to them. He knew that what he would do, because his character demanded it, and his track record showed that he would be faithful. Jesus was not going to leave them alone. He would come to them when they needed him most. When they needed it most, he would show up in power. He always planned to be with them when they needed him most. Hebrews 13:5, it quotes Deuteronomy 31:6 and also Joshua 1:5. And it says that, I will never leave you or forsake you. And that's the Lord's promise to us. So when we're in the middle of a difficult situation, in the middle of a storm, we should remember God's promises. In Romans, at the end of chapter 8, you know, chapter 8 starts with, there is therefore now no condemnation, right? And it ends with, there is therefore now no separation. Right? We can't be condemned if we're in Christ Jesus, and we can't be separated from him. Neither height nor depth nor principalities or powers or, you know, any of those things can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In 2011, I was in Panama. My wife and I had been serving at a particular church for a few years, right? And one day we were driving down the street, and she had this craving. You know how some women get cravings at sometimes, right? And it was for this regional food that to me was just like the most disgusting thing ever, right? I told her I was going to tell you guys about this, right? And there was this one specific place where they sold this food, and we would go, and she's like, stop, and I want to get some of this. And I'm like, not again, you know? And then one day she asked like two or three times in a row, because we were doing some errands there, right, for ministry and stuff. And so I stopped, and on the third time I said, all right, I'll stop and get you this. But after we get this, we're driving directly to the hospital, and we're going to get you a pregnancy test. Because it's like, it's weird that you would want this type of food so much, right? Usually you just eat it, and that's enough, right? Well, lo and behold, we went, and she was pregnant, right? And what a time of great joy. I mean, when you find out that would be our third pregnancy, right? And we had two other kids that the Lord had blessed us with, and we were just so excited, you know. And the Lord had revealed to me years before, even before I went to Panama as a missionary, he had confided in me something special, because I'd been asking him for a family. And he had confided in me years before that I would have a family, that indeed I would have three children. And I was rejoicing, and we went, and when it was time to get that first ultrasound, we went in, and lo and behold, they were twins. So we had two embryonic eggs or sacs or whatever that were in there, and it's like, whoa. And, you know, it came to my mind, that promise from the Lord, the three children. And I thought, wow, maybe I heard wrong. Maybe it was bad pizza or something, you know, and it wasn't three but four, right? And then we entered into one of the biggest storms that we had ever entered into in our lives, married lives. The second ultrasound revealed that both of those eggs were flattening out and that they weren't prospering. They weren't full and round as they should be, and that there was a strong possibility that we would lose one or maybe even both of the babies. And so we prayed and we sent out messages to everybody we knew to pray and just to ask for the Lord's favor. And we did everything that we could do physically and medically as well to ensure that we had those babies. But one of them did not make it. Now, I mention this to you because although the Lord had told me years before, I really didn't even think about it at that time until after we lost one of our twins. That there would not be four, but three. And that God's word is faithful. I still get emotional when I talk about that. Now, I was already a little older, as you can tell, you know, when we when we got married, right? And he didn't arrive, our son, the Joshua, until I was 43 years old. And the storm didn't finish, actually, with just losing the twin. Further tests revealed that Joshua, they believed, would be a Down's baby, that he would be born with Down syndrome. And so once again, we begin to pray. We begin to ask everyone that we know to pray with us, to be in agreement with us, that Lord would give us a wonderful baby. Regardless of what happened, we knew we would keep that baby. And that was one of the discussions that we even had with the doctor who said, you know, were giving us the options, you know. And I told her, ma'am, all due respect, we believe that there is one giver of life. And that if he gives us this baby, regardless of how this baby comes, we are going to keep him and we are going to love him. And so we prayed. And up till the very last trimester, we actually went in. We went in for special 3D ultrasounds, right? And another issue that they found was that in his heart, there were five chambers rather than the four normal chambers, which is also a signal or a sign that many Down's babies have. And we had one more ultrasound to go, right? And we went in and we got that very last ultrasound. And the person, the tech that was doing the ultrasound, showed us the ultrasound, and she said, you know, that fifth chamber is gone. There's now only four chambers, as there should be. And there was a distinct line, like a scar tissue line, where that chamber, where the division of that extra chamber had been. But the tissue that was dividing that chamber was gone. And we started hoping, and we kept praying, and our baby was born, and his pediatrician, who was the pediatrician of our other kids, he looked at him, he's like, man, there is nothing wrong with this baby. Praise be to God. So I tell you that story because we always need to remember God's promises. Even when we're going through difficult circumstances, Jesus will be with you in the good times and in the bad times, and you can count on him. And even when we can't see Jesus, We need to know and we need to understand that he can see us. You know, in verse 23, it says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary." Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. That's early in the morning. I'll get to that in a moment. So he sent them away, but he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. He was in a high place. He had a distinct vantage point. Down on the lake, the waves were raging. The storm was contrary. The wind was against them. You know, the disciples couldn't see anything except for that storm, except for those waves. They didn't know Jesus was up on the mountain seeing the whole thing. He had his eye on them. And he wasn't going to let them down. They weren't able to see him, but he could see them. There's a man named Pablo Olivares. And Pablo Olivares, he's from Argentina. Now, he, as a young boy, according to his testimony, he came to faith in the Lord. But later in life, because he was very talented musically, he rejected walking with God. And he made fun of believers, especially his mother, who was a very strong believer in the Lord. And he testifies of this very strange incident or that happened to him in his life. One time while he was at the height of his fame, while he was basically serving the evil one. And he knew it. And this experience that he had, that happened to him, was that he was kidnapped or abducted, and he was threatened at gunpoint. And the abductors had him by himself in a room for many hours. And it came to a point where one of the abductors asked him under oath or under threat of death, with the gun pointed at his head, if he was a believer in Jesus. And at that moment, he said yes, that he was. Even though previously he had been so contrary to what the Lord had wanted to do in his life. And somehow, miraculously, the assailants just let him go. From that time on, Pablo Olivares, he testifies of the fact that he does now indeed walk with the Lord, and that he will not depart from him, and of that amazing, crazy miracle that he did to save his life, just because he testified that he was the child of God. Now, there was a point in Pablo's life where he not only didn't look at Jesus, that he not only couldn't see Jesus, but he didn't even want to see him. But Jesus always had his eye on him. He was always taking care of him. And he came to him at the moment that he needed him most. Jesus has got his eye on us, ladies and gentlemen. I tell you, he's with you, and he loves you, and he'll show up when you need him. And another point that we see here, another fact or truth or principle that we see, is that Jesus always arrives at the perfect time. And that we see in verse 25, it says, "Now in the fourth watch," the fourth hour of the night, "Jesus went to them walking on the sea." Now, when desperation hits, when we're without hope, when When we think all is lost, that's when Jesus appears. And that's what he does. That's who he is. That is the Lord that we serve. When Abraham was about to kill his own son, Isaac, he took him up to Mount Moriah according to the direction of the Lord, and he raised the knife up above to stab his son as a sacrifice. The Lord showed up and stopped him, and he provided a ram in the thicket. When Jacob was in jail in Egypt, God sent someone to get him out. Jesus showed up. God showed up. Jesus always ministered to the broken and the weary. He always reaches out to those in need. He comes to you at your lowest moments. And he doesn't leave you there. Another thing that we see in this text right here is in verse 26. It says, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. Not only is a storm against us, the waves and the rain, but there's a ghost that's coming to us." Sometimes our fears can be Jesus in disguise. Sometimes that thing that just freaks us out is Jesus walking with us or to us. The disciples, they didn't recognize Jesus. They thought he was a ghost. They were like just crazy because of everything that was happening to men. And there are times when Jesus comes to us in a way or at a specific time where we can't even recognize him. And maybe you've reached out to help someone at some time in your life and because they had need, and yet by you helping them, they somehow just blessed you in an amazing way. That's Jesus in disguise. You didn't even realize it was him. What a blessing. Now, the text continues. "But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" So even though sometimes our fears are Jesus in disguise, and then we see him and we realize it's him, our ability to walk depends on our focus, right? What was Peter's problem? What was the issue with Peter? Was it his circumstances? Was it the waves? Was it the wind? Was it the rain? Was it the storm? Was it that he was afraid? What was the issue? Why did he begin to sink? Obviously, we know that it wasn't any of those things. It was not his circumstances. It wasn't the water. It wasn't the storm. It wasn't his lack of faith. It was that he diverted his eyes from Jesus. He changed his focus. He stopped looking at the Lord, and he started looking at all the other stuff that was around him, that was against him. He diverted his eyes from Jesus. So what can we do? Our ability to walk with the Lord depends on our focus. We must keep our focus on Jesus and not look at the things that are against us. Not look at the waves, but on the promises that he has given you. That he will never leave you or forsake you. That he will come to you when you most need him. That he will carry you when you cannot walk. that he loves you so much. And it says that when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Our last point is that your storm, your difficulty, the thing that you are facing in life, it is all under Jesus' control. The water under your feet, when you're like Peter walking on the water and you're focusing on the Lord Jesus, you know what? It's under Jesus' control. He's got it. The storm that you're in, it's under Jesus' control. It can't go further than he permits it. He's over it, just as he is over anything else that you might face. What is greater than he? What is greater than our Lord? He's greater than anything that threatens us in this life, than principalities, than powers, than life or death, than things we can't see and things we can. He's greater than the powers of darkness and the spiritual host of wickedness. He's greater than that illness that you might be facing. He's greater than that job that you don't have that you need, or that boss is threatening to fire you. He's greater than anything than this life can bring. You know, there was a story that I heard about a ship captain around the turn of the century, 1900, 1901, something like that. And it was an iron ship, a cruise ship. And they were out on the sea, and the wind or seas were calm. Yet they received notice that there was going to be a storm, and it was going to be a difficult storm. And he spoke with his mates and his assistants, and they came up with a plan on what to do. And they decided they were going to turn directly into the storm and steam into the storm, because that would be their best action, maritime action that they could do. And back in those days, you know, they had different classes of people that would board the boats. And there was a lady that was in first class, and she was very rich. And she asked, more like demanded, if she could go up and speak to the captain. And she went up and she spoke to the captain, and she asked him many questions, and she asked him about the action that they were going to take to come against the storm. And she asked, "Why can't we just drop the anchor and wait here?" And the captain quite forcefully and in control told her, "First and foremost, I am the captain, and I know what we should do. And secondly, this ship was built for this storm. It was built to take on this storm and any other storm just like this. We are in control. We've got it. You can go back and relax in your cabin." You know, Jesus is the captain of our ship. Who better to have in control of your ship than Jesus? He knows what to do. He can help you weather the storm. He is our strong tower in time of need. We're going to close, and I just want you guys to think about something while we're closing. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says that we're to cast all our cares upon Him, upon the Lord, because He cares for us. I want you to think about your three greatest cares. Three things that are just gnawing at you on your inside. Maybe it's health related. Maybe it's economic related. Maybe it's relational. I don't know. But right now, I want you to think about those things. Just three. I'm sure that you could make a list that's a lot bigger, right? And here's the question. Have you got them in your mind? Your three things, right? Here's the question. Are those things bigger than Jesus? They're not. They're not. So right now, I want you guys and gals, let's go ahead and pray. Before I pray, I want you to keep those three things in your mind. I want you to bow your heads and shut your eyes, and I want you to talk to the Lord right now about those things and give them to Him. Let Him have control over your situation, because you ain't got control anyway. Let's pray. Lord God, Lord Jesus, we come before You and we consider these principles. And we think about the fact that You are in control, ultimately, over every situation. And we think about the fact that if You are for us, who can be against us? And that You're bigger than anything that we are facing. And that You are for us and not against us. How grateful we are that we serve You. That You love us. That we can trust You in good times and in bad times. When the sun is shining and the sky is blue, and when it's dark and stormy and it's black as night. You promised You would be with us, that You'd take care of us, that You'd never leave us or forsake us, that You'd lift us up when we need You. How great are You, Lord? You are our God, and we trust in You. And we give You those things that we've been keeping from You. Those struggles that we haven't surrendered to You. And we say, take them, Lord. Take them now. Allow me to trust and give it to You and not take it back. How great are You, Lord? There's none that compares. Please go before us this week, Lord. Keep us in Your loving arms and help us to stick to You closer than we've ever stuck to You before, to trust in You in a mightier way than we've ever trusted in You before. guide us and lead us, for you are our God. And we do trust in you. Fill us with your Spirit so we can be useful to you. Bless these people, Lord, for they're the sheep of your pasture. We ask it, Lord, in your mighty name, Jesus, and we pray, amen.